And now back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Get in on the conversation with Herman Edwards. Talk about what are the leadership principles you've learned maybe in your life. If you're a coach, if you're a player, if you're a leader in any aspect, what are the things that you think strike home with this conversation today? By the way, you know, your website says a great deal about your company. Don't let it suck the life out of your product. Check out Amerisync.com. That's Amerisync.com, A-M-E-R-I-S-Y-N-C, A-M-E-R-I-S-Y-N-C, Amerisync.com, or just go to Head Games Radio. You can listen to the highlights tonight of our show with Herman Edwards, Tony Dungy, Solomon Wilcots, Dick Vermeil, a lot of the leading people in sports, and I think it's going to help you in the way that you go about your daily challenges. Herman, we're going to begin with some more from this interview with Tony Dungy about what Marty Schottenheimer brought and the idea of mindset, and also about criticism. How do you criticize players so that they remain confident? Here we go.
The tackling, the attitude itself, and something that, Marty brought, besides the sense that we're in this together, we're a team, the intensity and the way that he would criticize players, he showed a lot of loyalty to players in terms of what he did publicly versus what he did privately. There was a very important distinction Marty Schottenheimer brought between how he would take players aside incrementally, first very privately, then more and more in front of the team if a problem was not being resolved. And he would not do the same thing in terms of criticizing his team, his players, in the public. Tell us about what you learned from Marty Schottenheimer, Tony, and how important that is in terms of earning the ultimate respect for your team and for your players.
Well, I think that's very important. As a coach, your job is to get the most out of every player. That is the sign of a good coach. And how you get a lot out of people is to constructively help them get better, which is the point of practice, is the point of everything that you do behind the scenes, and then give them confidence. So it's kind of a two-way street on both sides of the coin. You have to be critical of play. You have to help them improve and correct mistakes, but then you have to build up the individual and help him have confidence that he can't feel like every time he goes out there he's going to be criticized for a mistake. So what you do publicly and what you do privately is it can many times be different, and that's, I think, what Marty did very, very well.
So, Herman, as you look at what Marty did, as you came into the scouting business and began then to coach with Tony Dungy down in Tampa Bay, tell us about the role of criticism and how you strike that balance.
Well, I think the one thing you know as a player, as a coach, that that's one thing that's going to happen. I don't call it criticism so much for the player, especially when a coach gets involved. It's more of helping him be more productive. And I think any time you can tell the player, here, look, if we do it this way, you're going to be a more productive player. With that being said, you're going to be a better player. And I think players are okay with that. Players don't want to be embarrassed. And because, you know, it's hard enough when you play the game and you go out between the lines. There's enough people going to take shots at you. And as you as a coach, you have to make sure that they understand that, hey, what I'm talking about is more of making you a better player. It's not that I'm criticizing you or really trying to bring you down. It's to help you the next time that we don't make the same error. And I said, that's the whole key when you talk about dealing with players. And you can call them out in a way, but it's always, I've always been under the influence that when you call them out, it's a way of really making them compete. And the thing that you don't like as a coach is when a guy doesn't live up to his talent. Because, see, talent is God-given. It's a gift. You don't earn talent. And sometimes that can be a curse to guys because they don't live up to their talent. And that's the one thing you see in athletics sometimes. You try to look at a guy and say, this guy's got great talent, but he's not a productive player. Well, why? Why is he not a productive player? And that's what you always have to understand. We got to get the guy more productive in a way that we don't put him out there in front of everybody and embarrass the guy. Because
let's talk about when you've got a player, Herman, that has both – talent and also is productive, like a Terrell Owens. We asked the same question of Tony. We put you on the – this isn't a Budweiser hot seat,
right,
but we're doing the best we can. But you've got a guy that clearly is productive, but he's also destructive in terms of that core. And one of the things we've found on this program is in the era of free agency, that core leadership that used to be 8, 10, 15 players is now 5 or 6 players. You don't have so many leaders – leadership players that have been there for 7 and 8 years that have all of the ears of the team and the respect of the team to keep things consistent, to say this is what Eagle football is about or this is what Chief football is about. How would you have handled the situation differently? And what are the chances also of Terrell Owens even coming to Kansas City?
Well, I think, you know, that situation in Philadelphia, what happened in Philadelphia, and I don't know everything that happened there. I don't talk to Andy about it or anything like that. I just think you got a great player, talented player, that obviously he feels going into every week that he needs to be a part of helping the team win. And I think the thing that sometimes when you look at it from afar, you say, well, this guy is this and that. The thing you do know about Terrell Owens, he's a very, very talented guy, very, very competitive guy. He sets his own standards. His standards are very, very high. And I think sometimes when he feels he's not meeting them, he gets a little frustrated, not only with himself, but maybe the situation he's in. And I think what has happened to him is hopefully he's kind of learned a lesson. Because at the end of the day, it is about the team. And you can have a great player, but you know, great players can't play without their teammates, and that's part of the scenario in sports. If you're a team-related sport, you need those other men or women to help you succeed. And so, I think you can't lose sight of that. As far as Terrell Owens is with us, I mean, we haven't really talked to Terrell. I mean, we talked to Drew back at the Senior Bowl, and that was about it. So the conversation hadn't gotten any further than that. Not saying it might not, but at this point, nothing has transpired.
Well, let me ask you one last question on that. Let's say it gets to that point, Herman. Mm-hmm. What would be the boundaries that you would have to clearly enunciate as part of the deal?
Well, that's the expectations. The first thing that has to happen is the player and the head coach have to sit down and talk and really iron out exactly what you expect out of the guy. And I think if the guy checks on the history of the head coach and understands how the head coach deals with players, he's going to know coming in what to expect. But then you have to really draw it out to him and say, hey, these are your parameters. And if you can't, you know, it's about the team. Now, obviously, you're a big factor in that, but I just think you have to have that conversation with the player.
Mm-hmm. I was talking with Josh Byrne, who's going to be our guest tomorrow, who's the general manager, formerly assistant general manager with the Red Sox, about Ozzie Guillen and what he's brought to a Hispanic-dominated team. Do you think being an African-American helps you in terms of addressing culturally, more sensitively, the things so that communication, which is the prime directive, the prime currency of all good relationships, is made?
Well, I don't know if it's because I'm African-American. I just think that if you communicate to your players, I just think that any good coach, he has to communicate with his players, and you have to make them understand there's certain standards they have to meet every day. You also have to let them know this, and I always tell them this: I'm going to treat everyone fair, but I'm not going to treat everyone the same, because that holds true in life too. And I think if they understand that, and they know that, hey, that you're going to be held accountable, but more than that, I'm going to be held accountable. And that's the thing that, you know, as a coach, the thing you learn right away is you have to earn your team's trust. It's not a given thing. Just because you're the coach and you have the title, that doesn't mean, you know, they respect you, but do they trust you? And, I want my players to trust me. So, because if they trust you, they're going to run through the wall for you. But you have to earn their trust. And I think that's a process. And so you have to go through the process with your team in certain situations to know that, hey, this is how the coach is going to deal with this. This is how he's going to go. And I think when you do that, then obviously you gain the trust of your football team.
We're lucky to be joined by Lewis Choka, Herman Edwards, who founded West Point Center for Enhanced Performance. He's a regular on our Monday show and runs Apex Performance. We wanted to have him share with us what West Point and what Apex Performance teaches in terms of developing that trust, because we're talking life and death. Lewis Choka, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Nick. How do you do, Herman?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
So, Lewis, tell us about the fundamentals when you've put 10,000 cadets ready for battle through all this training. Number one, besides communication, is that trust that Herman just talked about. What are the fundamental things that you think Herman is doing that are lessons for all of us that are listening?
Well, it's interesting. I have a couple of things that come to mind, but I want to quickly mention something that Herman mentioned about earning trust. I mean, that is so critical. And the if I had to pinpoint one thing that leads to earning trust for the coach, in, of course, in sports, it's coach. In the army, it would be the combat leader, is that the soldier or the athlete truly believes that the coach or the leader has that person's best interests in mind. In other words, I believe that whatever it is my coach or my leader is doing, the reason he's doing it is because he has my and my team's interest in mind, not for some other reason. So that earning that trust is a critical factor by doing that. Another thing is that a coach or a combat leader has to demonstrate competence. Now we pretty much assume that that's a given, but in fact it isn't, because how the different players or those different soldiers see competence will vary tremendously. So you've got to demonstrate, especially if you're coming in as a new coach or you're coming in as a new leader, and in combat situations there's a lot of turnover, as you can imagine, and you have to very quickly establish your competence, and sometimes that competence comes from very simple little kinds of things. That, for example, when I was in Vietnam, I learned a lot of things at West Point, but I never realized the most competence that I could demonstrate to my troops was the ability to read a map. That's because it was so critical never to be lost, as an example. The other thing is that trust comes from actions, not words. A coach or a leader can talk to the blue in the face about the things that they're going to do, the things that they want. But ultimately, that trust will come as a result of the actions that are demonstrated by the coach.
Herman, we just got a few minutes, and we're so blessed to have you on the show. We really appreciate it, and we want you to be successful in Kansas City. Certainly I do, after seeing, 10, 11, 12 years without a playoff victory. Let's now go into that in the last few minutes of this show. How do you develop that mindset, that trust, that sense that you are the competent one that will take them to the next level of playoff success as well?
Well, I think the thing, he makes a good point with what he brought up, and the fact that you have to be willing to sacrifice your ego as the leader for the sake of the football team. And I think the players will read me very, very clear. There is no gray area with me. There's no ego. It's a matter of, this is what we're going to do, and then I'm going to show them how to do it. I'm not a guy that sits in the Eiffel Tower and delegates all these things of what to do. I'm going to get my hands dirty, and they'll see that right away. They'll see that at the end of this month when we have our first meeting as a football team. So I'm going to actually show them exactly what I want, and I'm going to be very, very demanding, and I'm going to be consistent. And I think, people want consistency, good and bad, but they want to be consistent. They want to know when they come to work every day that this is the environment they're in. And I think they understand that. They don't want a system where every you come to work, you never know where you stand. You're going to always know where you stand with me and why. And I think if you can show that on a consistent basis, obviously you can earn their trust.
Okay, the defense. I had several players when I was doing the television show on the Sports Spot back in Kansas City tell me that they wished that Dick Vermeil would have come into more defensive meetings. What are you going to do differently?
Well, obviously we're going to do some things different on defense, and we've had some great staff meetings and some mind sessions on what we can do to make the players better and enhance what they can do better. And I think the players will learn that right away. As I said, I'll be in all the meetings, special teams meeting, offensive meeting, defensive meetings. I'm a defensive-minded guy. There's no doubt about it. So I'll have some influence on the defense. But then again, at the end of the day, you got to turn it over to the players, because the players have to believe in what we're trying to coach them. Now, we got to coach them. We got to show them why it works. We got to continue to coach them when we error, and make them gain confidence that we have to keep repeating it over and over, and then eventually it'll come to them.
Listening to Herman Edwards and Lewis Choker from West Point and Apex Performance. We'll be back with final thoughts on confidence, on success, on championship living. We'll be right back.